Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, and whoever else might be listening. I hope that you're born again and that you are a child of God and that you are in the family of God, that you're in the body of Christ, and that you've been born again and you have God's promises that if you died today that you would go directly to be with the Lord, and that you have no possibility by God's promise in His Word, His written Word, that we do have, that we can hold in our hands and we can open the book and we can see God's words and read them and understand them, that if you died today, that you would not be brought under any condemnation by the Lord whatsoever. That the Lord Jesus Christ has paid all the penalty for that, and that is taken care of. Well, today, I think, in this recording, what we're going to do is finish up the letter R, if the Lord will. First thing I'm going to do today, is keep a promise and give you these scriptures. And you're probably giggling about that because I've forgotten twice already. But, run a rabbit out of the hole as far as he can go, as long as he comes back to the same hole. It's okay, no matter how far. But anyway, let me go ahead and give those to you. First thing I think that we left off at was two recordings ago, and I didn't give you the scriptures for the marriage supper of the Lamb. So I'm going to give those to you first, and they are as follows. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 32. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. John chapter 3, verse 29. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 through 9. And Luke chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. Those are the scriptures we used when we talked about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, here are the ones that we used last recording and went over and looked into God's Word. And on Daniel's 70th week, when we talked about that last recording. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12 through 22. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. Revelation chapter 6, verse 17. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Luke chapter 21, verse 34 through 36. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 8. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 and 12. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 through 24. And the last one is Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 and 30. And there are the scriptures up to date. So I might be slow, but I'm not real slow, okay? But anyway, we're going to get into our study, and the last thing that we're going to talk about is the millennium. The millennium. And this is really, other than the white throne judgment and going on into eternity and what the Lord His will is, we do have some information from the scriptures that the Lord give us in some places that of what we might expect after the white throne judgment and after the millennium and things like that, but not in detail. And the millennium is not spoken about, just like Daniel's 70th week. And now that was spoken about quite a bit. And there's a lot more information on that, the judgments that the Lord pours out and the things that are going on and the things that Revelation talks about. But, and, you know, you could get into a lot more in-depth study if that's what you wanted to do. concerning what we talked about last recording, the 70th week of Daniel. But what you did learn last week is the ABCs, and it's fundamental that every Christian should know, and that's what this study is about. It's just the ABCs of Christian growth is. You found out enough last week that you could tell somebody what the tribulation period is going to be like, and you could give them a reference of the gist of the beginning to the end of it, see? And that it's just all truth is what makes it so beautiful and valid. And tribulation's not going to be beautiful, but our God is beautiful. And His judgment is beautiful, just like His mercy. If our God wasn't just and He violated His judicial principles at one time, like the Supreme Court does quite a bit, then He would have no character and He'd have no respect and He wouldn't be the God that we needed. One thing that's very special about the Lord is that He doesn't compromise His integrity for nobody. And that's one thing I really love about Him, is that no matter when I come to Him, He's going to give me the right answer. He's righteous altogether. And He's going to give me the right answer, and it's going to come from Him, and it's going to be something that He believes in, and something that's in His heart, and something that's right, and something that's real, something I can depend on, I can stake my soul on, and I can walk after, and I can be like Him. And I'm going to profit from it, and I'm going to be better, and I'm going to be a better person because of what I take from His advice that is perfect. So His Word is where we go for that now, until we see Him in person, which the Word will be there also. But let's recap on this study. Let's just go over the things that we've talked about briefly. And then the last thing we're going to talk about today is the millennium. And there's not that much to talk about, even though the Scripture does give us information. It gives us truths that what it's going to be like during the millennium. But it doesn't give us timetables. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. This is going to this and this and this. It gives us things that like visions of what we're going to see during the millennium and what we're going to see and some things that are going to be happening like for instance the Lord's going to rule and there's going to be righteousness everywhere. We don't know what that's like, and there's going to be peace, real peace, everywhere, and we don't know what that's like. You see, and we're going to have brand new bodies. We're going to have the mind of Christ. We're going to have the Lord's righteousness on us, and we're not going to have any sin to deal with, no wicked thoughts to deal with, no temptations to deal with. And we're not going to be tempted to turn against the Lord in any way. We're not going to have a world to deal with that's going to mess with us, the body of Christ. We're not going to have, well, I'm getting into it now, aren't I? But it tells us things like that. It doesn't go into detail and say, well, millennium, day one, millennium, day two. It doesn't do that. The Lord just gives us a kind of a preview of it and the things that we can look forward to. And that was the Lord's choice, and that was all that He wanted to give us. And I suppose that there's some guys that are smarter than I am that have gotten in and studied a lot longer about the millennium. But, you know, what's most important to me is that I have God's promise that I'm going to be there. And I'm going to get to rule and reign with Him. And, you know, I'm not just saying this. If the Lord wanted me, King David said he'd rather be a doorkeeper for the Lord. And it wouldn't bother him a bit. And you know what? With the condition that the Lord's going to make me in, change my body and take this old vile body off, take me out of this vile body and change it and give me a perfect body like unto His glorious body. And then He's going to give me a mind like His, and I'm going to be able to think like Him. We're talking about God. And I'm going to get to think like Him. And I'm not going to have all this craziness running through my mind all the time that I have to battle with right now, and all the sin that I've introduced into my thinking that I'm having to undo now, and just all the wickedness and the billboards and the television and the radio and listening to people's conversations as I pass through the day, and just all the things and all the visions that are thrown up in front of my eyes and all that stuff. And all this stuff has to be processed through our minds. We're not going to have all that. And I can't imagine that by itself, can you? That's going to be something. But the Lord gives us enough to where we can take our imaginations and run with it, but the Lord said we're not going to be able to figure it out. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things God hath prepared for them that love him. And all the kind things that the Lord has done for you so far, that you sit down and it almost brings you to tears every time you think of how kind he has been. It might just be one instance, it might be many, but how kind he's been to you, you can imagine what it's going to be like when we're there in person with him and we're actually living and being. And all this time that we've been born, and all down through history and all the way up to creation and down through the flood and on through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob all the way up to us, has been for the sole purpose of the Lord buying us back and getting us back with him like we was intended to be to begin with. And he's going to accomplish that. And we're going to be part of it. And who knew that we was going to be in existence and be a being, and that we were going to be part of all this? I can't imagine anybody turning down what the Lord is offering right now. What a fool. What a fool. Only a fool would turn away and not prepare for eternity. I know we're all sinners and that we all have a history of running from the Lord and rebelling against the Lord, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when it comes down to the nitty-gritty and the push come to shove and you're going to go into eternity, what's your choice? Because after you die, there is no choice anymore. Your will is done. You don't get a choice anymore. The only thing that's going to happen is you're going to be brought before the sentencing court, God's courtroom, and find out just how much punishment you're going to get for eternity. And I can't even imagine that. I wouldn't wish that on nobody. I don't want anybody to go to hell, do you? Nobody. But you know, there's people that cuss God all the way to his last breath. And know he's going to hell. And do it anyway. Not me. The return of Jesus Christ. We talked about in the very beginning, we talked about the promise of Christ coming. Remember? Does the Bible teach that Christ is coming back? Yes, it does. All the people that preached it in the past, they told the truth. Because it's there. We read it. And if we studied it any more, it would just get even more real and more valid. Because God's word is truth. Thy word is truth. Then we talked about the first coming of Jesus Christ. And that was in two phases. It was his birth. And it was his birth and the crucifixion. And then he ascended back to his right hand of his Father. And that's where he is presently is until his second coming. Until the rapture, until he comes to get us. But during that time, we talked about all the Old Testament prophecies, and we went, not all of them, but we went over quite a few of them, and then we seen in the New Testament the fulfillment of those Old Testament prophecies right there. We hold an Old Testament in our left hand and a New Testament in our right hand, and we could see where the Lord in history had men reveal these prophecies, or had them to speak these prophecies of what's going to be. And then the New Testament, we see the ones with Jesus Christ personally writing and Jesus Christ himself speaking the fulfillment of it in history. So we see the Old Testament telling prophecy for the future, and we see the New Testament showing what already has been, that was prophesied, that was fulfilled. There's no other book that does that. There's no other book on planet Earth that would attempt that. Especially over 50 prophecies on the Lord's birth that come to pass on the button. Who do you know that can predict how a man's going to be born, when he's going to be born, where he's going to be born, what he's going to do during his life, how he's going to die, where he's going to die, who's going to kill him? Who do you know? I bet there ain't a man on earth that could predict 5 things that would come to pass, much less 50 or over 50. And that's just on his birth. So moving along, we talked about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was also in 2 stages or phases, if you will. And the first one is the rapture of the saints. We talked about that. We talked about it being an instantaneous event. We talked about the Christians and that so-called sleeping, not so-called, but what the Bible talks about sleeping in Christ. Who it concerns, who the rapture concerns. We talked about that it concerns the whole entire body of Christ, whether your body is in the grave or whether you're still in it. Either way, you're going up. We talked about the believers being caught up into the air, that Christ was not going to be coming all the way to the earth at that time. It's going to be a real private event, just like his birth was during the first advent. When he came in the first advent, there wasn't nobody interested, nobody cared. Society went on about what they was doing, and he was laying in a barn, in a trough, as a baby. Born in a barn, our Lord. And then the second event was a major public event to where everybody knew it when he was crucified. Well, the second coming, the second advent, the second coming in 2 parts is going to be similar to that. The first event is going to be very private. It's just going to be us and the Lord. The Lord's going to come and get his bride. Everybody else is going to continue doing what they're doing, and whatever they come up with about all these missing people, some people say this and some people say that. The Bible doesn't say the reaction of people and what it's going to be like here on the earth. The only thing it says is that there's going to be strong delusion. The Lord's going to send them strong delusion. They're going to be deluded. They're going to be deceived. They're going to probably do like they're doing now, make up the biggest, fattest lie that they can possibly make up, and everybody go ahead and believe it, and let's move on. You know, something like that. But that's going to be very private. And then we moved on past that, and we talked about the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was the second phase of the second advent or second coming of the Lord, when he comes with all his mighty angels and comes with the bride, and that's us, and comes down here to make war and to show all the ungodly that of their ungodly deeds that they have ungodly committed. And all their big speeches and ungodly things that they said against him that they thought that he didn't hear, he heard. And he's going to come and check. He's going to come and put them in check. Except it's going to be with bloodshed. There's your calm, quiet, peaceful, lovey-dovey, fuzzy-wuzzy, warm, fuzzy Jesus. The Lord is merciful and very, very kind. I testify to that right now, right here, right forever. He's been very, very kind to me. But I don't take the Lord for granted about him being a man and him being a God of war and a man of war. The Lord knows how to fight. And he's going to show everybody when he comes here, he's going to show, the Father said he put all authority and all power in the Lord Jesus Christ. Possession. So when the Lord comes, he's going to have all power of the Godhead. And he's going to come and these idiots down here, God-hating idiots, are going to turn and try to fight the Lord. And the blood's going to flow to the horse's bridle. And then he's going to instruct his creatures to come and eat their flesh. And he's not to be feared? I fear the Lord because I know that he has the power. And he said so in Luke. And he said so in another book. He said, I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. That was the Lord speaking by himself and said that. He said, don't fear him that kills the body and has no more that he can do. He can't go any farther in killing your body. He can't even control your spirit and your soul after your body is dead. He can't do nothing about that. But the Lord can. And the thing about it is people deny and they resist and they lie to themselves and deceive themselves and just try to put it off. I've heard people say, well, I'm not going to die. I refuse to die. What an idiot. To live a life like that? The revelation of Jesus Christ, he's coming. But he's coming to get us first. And then what, 7 years later, he's going to come. He's going to make war. He's going to go ahead and settle the score with everybody, all the God-haters and Christ-rejectors, and all the people that won't leave Israel alone. And then there are events that we talked about between the rapture and the revelation in both heaven and earth. We drew a little graph, or at least you did. I drew mine out, but I'm not going to let you see it unless you want these papers. I'll send them to you as far as the lessons go, and then you can see it. But anyway, the graph that we got drawn out there, and you see a timeline of heaven and a timeline of earth. And up in heaven during that seven-year period, we talked about the judgment seat of Christ, that it was not going to be a judgment seat of condemnation. The Lord's promised us that we're not going to come under condemnation. He's not going to condemn us. But the judgment is going to be very serious because it's going to be about the works and your devotion and your allegiance to the Lord while after he saved you and God the Holy Ghost moved into your body and how your allegiance was to him. How your service was to him. But it's not going to be to condemn you. It's going to be to reward you. And there'll be tears there because, I mean, you think about some of the things that you have done in your body after you were saved. And I'm hoping that it's going to be a private judgment, one-on-one. Because that'd be bad enough. Not bad enough, but what I mean is real enough to stand before the Savior and see some of the things that him presents, some of the things that I've done in the body since I've been saved. But then also the things that we have done for the Lord and done unselfishly and done sacrificially and done like that, they're going to be presented too. And you're going to be rewarded for it. The judgment seat of Christ. And after that, the Bible says that we're going to move on, not past the judgment seat, and we're going to move into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Wasn't much to say about that, with exception that the Lord compared it to being a husband and wife celebration of their marriage, and that it's going to be a time of joy, and there's going to be it's going to be a wonderful time. We're all going to sit down and I guess supper means that we're going to eat the marriage supper of the Lamb. But it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's going to be the main issue of the supper and the main issue of everything. And I believe that's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. But the Lord didn't choose to give us a whole lot of information on that. But It doesn't matter, does it? Because we're going to be there. And it's going to be great. And then we moved on. And finally, we got that finished. And today, we're going to talk about the millennium. Everything's done, over with. All of the Lord's enemies, with exception of the devil and death and some of the things that he's going to throw into the lake of fire, and the white throne judgment. And see, all through this time, after he's taken, we're in the period of grace right now, dispensation of grace. You can get saved just as easy as you can speak to the Lord. And then it goes into the tribulation period, and the Lord still makes provision for people to be saved during that, during the first part of it, when the Antichrist is taken over. And then the second half of the, even when he's dealing specifically with the Jews and Israel, people still can get saved. But there's different conditions to it now. And then after that, even during the millennium, people can still get saved. And then after that is the white throne judgment. And that's when he brings the dead up. All the dead, all the Christ rejectors, all the God-hating, Christ-despising idiots that don't want nothing to do with the Lord. He's going to bring them up and deal with them and go ahead and put them in the lake of fire. And then the Bible pretty well, the Lord pretty well stopped everything right about there. And we don't know what's going to happen after that, except we're in eternity with the Lord, and whatever he wants to do is fine with us. And it'll pretty well be back to where creation started. Pretty well. I mean, we could think that way if we wanted to. Let's go into the millennium and talk about that. The millennium. Okay. The Lord has come back to the earth. The war is over. The fighting is over. The Lord has won the battle, the victory. Literally. Literal Lord. Literal army. Literal horses. Literal blood. Literal fighting. Literal death. And literal crowning of the Lord to set him on the throne that he's been waiting and rightfully owns the authority to sit on that throne, David's throne. And he's going to sit down on it. He's going to rule and reign. And for 1,000 years on the earth, peace is going to be set up. It's going to be his government. He's going to rule and reign. It's going to be a monarchy where a king rules, and the king is the one that makes the rules, and everybody's going to love him, with exception of the ones that don't want nothing to do with him. There's still going to be people die and go to hell during that time also. The Lord is so wonderful to give people choices. But can you believe when he is here physically, sitting on a throne, not spiritual kingdom anymore, it's spiritual, but also the literal kingdom is here. The kingdom is here. The Lord's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth is here, both of them. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is what I meant to say. Both of them are here. The spiritual kingdom is here and the literal kingdom is here. The physical, touchable, feelable, seeable kingdom. And they're both here. That's what the millennium is going to start out like, and it's going to be 1,000 years. You're going to live 100 times over in the millennium. We're going to have our own place, and the New Jerusalem is going to be there, and the Jews are going to be living down here on earth. The Lord's going to, they're going to inherit the earth like the Lord has always promised them. They're going to be in charge, and everybody's going to respect the Jews and love the Jews the way that God wanted them to begin with. But there's a few things that we can go over and see in the Scriptures, and let's do that. The first thing is in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 and 32, the Bible says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats." This was called the sheep and goat judgment. The Bible doesn't say sheep and goat judgment. It says sheep from the goats. And the Lord uses that give us a difference in what he thinks of the nations. Some of them he thinks as sheep, and some of them he thinks as goats. But the Bible says that following the return of Christ in his glory, that what we talked about, he's going to sit down on the throne of David. He's going to inherit his rightful throne that he died for. And he will judge who? He's going to judge the nations. Now, this is not going to be a judgment we're going to have anything to do with. This is going to be a judgment of all the nations that are on and upon earth whenever the tribulation was going on. And he's going to judge those nations according to how they treated the Jews during the tribulation. And some going to get it, and some ain't going to get it. Some going to be sheep, and some going to be goats. But that's going to happen during the millennium. We don't know exactly when, but probably during the beginning there. The next thing, that's not all. Joel chapter 3 and verse 12 through 16, the Bible says, "Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, and their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." Another thing that's going to happen is we see that there's going to be a judgment. The judgment that we just spoke about, it's the same judgment, talking about the judgment of the nations. But this judgment is going to take place. Where is it going to take place at? It's going to take place in the valley of Jehoshaphat. The valley of Jehoshaphat. And if I ain't mistaken, I think that's there's a couple names for it in the scriptures. And I think one of them is called Armageddon. And one of them is called, I don't want to embarrass myself, but there's several names in the Bible, but this particular one in Joel is talking about the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and that's the same place. This is where that judgment's going to take place. And all the haters of God and the ungodly and the wicked that have not turned to him, as many times as he's given them a chance, he's going to judge them. Except this is going to be a judgment of life and death, a sentencing of that. Another thing, that's not all. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2 and 3. Look at what's going to happen during the millennium and these things. Now, these things are, we've got about 5 or 6 or 7 of them that we're going to look at what the Bible tells us and specifies that's going to take place during this time. This dispensation of the millennium, this time during the millennium, when the Lord is actually here physically. Revelation chapter 20, verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years." What's the millennium? The millennium is 1,000 years. So Satan is bound for 1,000 years. He's tied up, chained up. And I think it says in the bottomless pit, he's chained up where he cannot get loose, and he's not going to be able to influence the earth or people or anything, unclean spirits or anybody, for 1,000 years. So you think about the millennium and think about the time that we're on earth, the time that we're on earth right now, that there are unclean spirits and the devil himself walks about as a roaring lion, and unclean spirits and devils bothering us all the time, and the wickedness that's in the world and the darkness that's in the world and the sin that's in the world. All of this during the millennium is not going to be. But especially, I mean, there will be people committing sin in a environment of righteousness. It won't be like the environment here. It's going to be an environment of the Lord's government, righteousness everywhere. The prominent environment is going to be righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the government of Jesus Christ. But one of the things by itself that's going to make it very special and very different is that the devil ain't going to be able to influence it. He's not going to have any say-so, any influence, not be able to act on anything, anywhere, anyhow. He's going to be tied up for 1,000 years. Bound him for 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. And set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. You say, why? Well, it's just the way the Lord set it up. The Lord's going to let him out so he can cut his own throat. He's going to let him out because he knows what he's going to do. The Lord does. And knows how he's going to do it, and the Lord's going to destroy him permanently. Not annihilate him, but put him in the lake of fire. Okay, so he's going to be tied up. The millennium's going to be like that. No devil, no unclean spirits, no influence. He's not going to be able to deceive the nations at all. The nations are going to be at peace. We're talking about a whole earth with nations, just like we got now. Different people, different races, not everybody being the same, like man tries to do all the time. Everybody's going to be different. There's going to be different peoples. It's going to bring their different kings, going to bring their glory into the holy city, the Lord says. And the Lord's going to rule over the entire earth, and everybody's going to be different with different people, different places, different countries, different nations, and the Lord's going to rule over all of them. But there's not going to be any deceit because the devil's going to be tied up. That's going to be something in itself, isn't it? What a change. If the devil was to disappear right now, could you imagine what a change? We can't imagine it, because all we know is that. Until we met the Lord, and when we met the Lord, we know that there's something different, and that there is, the Lord has plans. Moving along. So we see that the devil's going to be tied up. He's going to be bound for 1,000 years. We see that the Lord's going to judge the nations, that he's going to judge them in the valley of Jehoshaphat. We see also in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them. You see, you can see a soul. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Of course, we know that this is the tribulation saints. The souls of the tribulation saints, you see where they are? They're with the Lord. The bodies are down there with the heads chopped off, but their souls are with the Lord. And during Revelation, they cry out to the Lord and said, "When are you going to avenge us?" And the Lord says, "It's coming." He said, "Give them some robes to wear." And they brought robes, white robes, and put them on them souls. And a soul can wear clothes. Did you get that? We'll get into that study of body, soul, and spirit sometime soon. Interesting study, beautiful study. And then all Bible, all truth. But the Bible says that Satan's going to be bound, and it says right there in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 that Christ will reign on the earth for how long? 1,000 years. It said, "And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So there it is again. We see that the tribulation saints are going to rule and reign with the Lord. The Bible says that we're going to be kings and priests for the Lord. And I can't imagine that, but just we're going to be with the Lord himself personally. And he's going to know us by name. As a matter of fact, he's going to give us new names. You're going to get a new name. Do you know that? Why didn't you know that? Okay. I bet some of you already thought about, "Oh, well, I hope it's not." Not Satchmo or something, huh? It'll be whatever the Lord says it's going to be, and it's going to be beautiful because the Lord's going to give it to you. Another thing that's going to be during the millennium, like I said, there's not a lot of information that the Lord give us. He just give us some things that we can look at and imagine. I mean, these are truths, and these are literally going to be and literally going to happen. But, I mean, you think about the devil being bound by himself, by itself, that truth alone is something to live for, isn't it? And seeing that the Lord is going to save lots and lots of people out of the tribulation time, they're going to die with their heads being cut off, but their souls are going to be with the Lord. We see that that is a truth, and that also supports us because the Lord said that being that absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we know that death doesn't mean anything as far as this earth goes and as far as concerning eternity and concerning our welfare. Death is just something that we pass through. Our body dies. We don't die. Every place in the scripture that I have ever read about death, and I'm going to put a study together about death to put in this study here, but every place that I've ever read in the scriptures concerning death, it doesn't talk about suffering unless it's talking about wicked people and talking about ungodly people. But every place I've ever seen that it talks about a saint or somebody that's righteous and somebody that loves the Lord dying, the Bible says, "And they fell asleep." They fell asleep. According to the Bible, that's what death is like. It's falling asleep. And I've seen people die. I've been by their bedside. I've been by one of my mentors' bedside with his family and watched him die. And that's what he did. He just fell asleep. He was awake 1 minute. And you could watch his soul pass through him and come right out. And when he left, that body was the only thing there. He just fell right to sleep. The body did. He went to be with the Lord. We'll get into that sometime. But Isaiah chapter 2, but there's nothing for us to be scared of as far as death goes. Now, if you're not saved, you're walking on thin ice. Because any step that you take could be the one that sends you into eternity. And if that happens before you receive Christ, you're in trouble. Forever. If you're not saved, you get saved today. Don't play around with the Lord. He died for you. He shed His blood for you. He was buried. He resurrected. And He offers you eternal life absolutely free, just for the asking. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon His name and confess Jesus Christ, and believe. Tell Him that you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and the Lord promises that He'll save you for eternity. And yes, you will know that you're saved. Why don't you try it? How come you ain't gonna try it? Well, what if it don't work? Well, what if it does? It worked on me. And worked on thousands and millions of others that were before us. The Lord saved me. I didn't have anything to do with that. Only thing I'd done was just listen to His word and done the best that I could do to obey it and react to it. And He saved me. And He's been doing everything since then. That's been 40 years. Why don't you try it and see? Another thing about the millennium is in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. We've seen where Christ is going to reign on the earth for 1,000 years. Because it just told us that the tribulation saints are going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years, okay? In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "And He shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall there learn war anymore." Now that's going to be a major difference. Just by itself, something to look forward to. No more war. All the hippies back in the 60s was hollering, "No war, no war, no war." It's not possible. It's not possible on this earth. There's been... What I was reading the other day, there's been 50-something wars since 1930-something. There's been 50-something wars all the way up to the year 2000 alone. And if you get a list of all the wars that you can go and get the history of all the wars that have been recorded all the way back to B.C., all the way back to hundreds of years B.C. and the wars that we know about. There's been war all the way down through history, ever since Cain knocked Abel's brains out. But there ain't going to be no war during the millennium. The Lord promised. As a matter of fact, you're talking about turning the guns in. The Lord says all the swords and all the spears, let's turn them into tools. Pruning hooks and plowshares. Everybody going to get the garden and grow them fresh vegetables and eat that fresh food and enjoy it. Instead of all these sloppy tomatoes they're trying to sell us. All these chemicals, spiced tomatoes. That's what the millennium is going to be like. It's going to be for 1,000 years. No war, no devil, no wars, no guns, no threats. And the Lord's going to rebuke people. He's going to straighten up some people. I'm glad I'm not going to be one of them, man. He could straighten me up. He straightens me up right now. But when I get that new body and get the mind of Christ, I'm not going to have to be worried about anything trying to make me rebel against my Lord anymore. I'm not going to have to be worried about the world. I'm not going to worry about the devil. I'm not going to worry about this flesh trying to take my allegiance away from my Lord ever again. That's not all. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. So we see that during the millennium is going to be a time of what? During that past verse we just read. It's going to be a time of peace. A time of real, real, real peace. We can't define that. The only thing people can do today is just say peace. They can say the word. Because they can't imagine what peace really is. Nobody on this earth knows what peace is. The only peace that we know is the peace that passeth all understanding, and that's the joy of the Lord. That's the best peace that you can get on this earth, being in the body, is the joy of the Lord and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the best peace that you can get. As far as getting peace from this world, are you kidding? There's no such thing. That's why everybody's running to and fro, going from here to there, to here to there, to married, to unmarried, to homosexual, to straight sexual, to no sexual, to just trying everything. There's no peace for the wicked, the Bible says. But there will be during the millennium. That's all there's going to be. There's going to be troublemakers, but the Lord's going to straighten them up because it's going to be under His rules. And He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Nobody gets away with nothing. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 through 10, listen to this. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall, there went your minorities. And he shall smite the earth with a rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. There's going to be animals during the millennium, except the animals ain't going to be like what they are now. I mean, I'm going to miss the dog and cat chases and the cat fights, but everybody's going to get along, even the animals. And the animals are not going to fear mankind anymore. And that's going to be pretty neat, ain't it? Different. And the Lord's going to rule and reign. And it says there's going to be children during the millennium. because they're going to play around with the, it says the little child shall lead them. It's going to lead the young lion and lead the calf and lead the kid, and a leopard's going to lie down with the kid, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And it said the suckling child shall play, there's going to be babies born. The suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, on snake den. And the weaned child, that's going to be one that's walking already, probably, shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Nobody's going to get killed. Nobody's going to get destroyed. There ain't going to be no snake bites. Ain't going to be no lion attacks. Not going to be no stinking dead animals laying around. It's going to be different. And everything that we're talking about right now is God's Word. Everything we just got through talking about, that we just got through mentioning and talking about and listening to, is going to come to pass. And we're going to be there. Isn't that neat? Let's look at one last thing. So the millennium is going to be a time of peace. It's going to be a time of even the animals are going to be at peace. Nobody's going to get hurt. Nobody's going to hurt or destroy in all of God's mountain. And one other thing, in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. You see how things are going to go back like the Old Testament and the ways of Jerusalem and stuff like that, the customs and stuff like that going to go back to Old Testament. You have a copy of God's Word from history that's going to be future. You can read in the Old Testament, see what it's going to be like during the millennium. That the Jews are going to be God's people here on earth. This is going to be their property. And it says there's going to be people that are going to go up to see the Lord during the Feast of Tabernacles, from year to year, going up there to see Him, just like the Lord says in the Old Testament right now, like they used to do. So the Lord's going to bring back some of the ways that He liked for the Jews to do, and all the people are going to go up. And I think in another place it says that if they don't go up, He's going to cut the rain off on them. So the people are still going to have a choice that are living during that time of whether they're going to love the Lord or not. You see how gracious the Lord is? I mean, He's here physically. And if you don't want to come up there and see Him and honor Him and worship Him during the Feast of Tabernacles, then He'll cut your rain off for a while. Praise the Lord. He's so wonderful. But, you know, that pretty well is about all we're going to talk about the millennium. I mean, that's enough. The devil's not going to be there. If we just break down what we already have read and what we already know, that's enough. But that's, the Lord said, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man." You can't even imagine in your heart with your wildest dreams the things God hath prepared for them that love Him. Tremendous. So that ends our study on the return of Jesus Christ, our ABC study in the Scriptures, of the Scriptures, of God's Holy Word, and what He says about the return of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good stuff, isn't it? And all true, and you can stake your soul on it, because it's God's Word. Believe it. Let's go believing. Let me read you a closing verse here. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 through 13, listen to this. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Amen. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that pretty well winds up our study. Let me give you these scriptures for the last one. You thought I was going to forget them, didn't you? No, I know you didn't. You know how smart I am. The millennium. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 and 32. Joel chapter 3, verse 12 through 16. Revelation chapter 20, verse 2 and 3. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 through 10. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16. And our closing verse was Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 13. So, that's the entirety of our study in the ABCs of Christian growth with the return of Jesus Christ. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope that you've been blessed by it, and I hope that you'll get a hold of me and let me send you these the paperwork that goes along with it, to where you can sit down and have this in your folder, and if you want to study it again, you'll have the exact thing, and when you go over it on the papers, it'll just bring your memory right back to what we talked about. It goes right along with it. But if you do, then just email me at barnhouseministries@gmail.com, and I'll send them to you. And the next study we're going to go into is the letter S. And that's going to be a study that is not spoken of by the preachers much anymore. And I'm not saying every preacher, but I'm saying as a whole, during the Laodicean period that we're in right now, the preachers are getting farther and farther and farther apart, and the world is preaching against and against and against this truth that the Bible teaches. But we're going to talk about separation. Separation. Ooh. And you say that, you go downtown, there's two things that you can say, three things that you can say. You go downtown, it'll get everybody's attention around you immediately. The first thing is you say out loud, Jesus Christ, everybody will look up. Everybody. The second thing you say is obedience. You say that out loud, and everybody will stop in their tracks. And then if you say separation, man, you'll all get lawsuits over that. But that's what we're going to study. You know why? Because it's doctrine. It's Bible doctrine. And the Lord teaches us in the Scriptures specific truths, New Testament and Old Testament, having to do with separation. And you are commanded. You are commanded in some ways having to do with this truth of separation. Do you know what the Bible says about separation? Why don't you know? That's why we're having this study. Every Christian should know what the Bible says about separation. You're not separating because you're trying to be better than other people, or that you're trying to be somebody, or trying to be Mr. Christian, walk straight with your chin up there, and all that kind of garbage, gobbledygook. A true, devoted, sincere, loyal Christian humbling himself and serving the Lord like he should be, has to separate. Because, number one, you're commanded to, and number two, there's no way that you can serve Christ properly and be pleasing to him and acceptable to him without separating. And when we get into it, you'll see it. It'll all come together and it'll flow, just like putting your hands together and folding your fingers together. It all comes together, and it comes together beautifully. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. And when you get these truths, you'll be able to do and be pleasing to the Lord and do it because you want to, not because you have to. And not because you're trying to hurt a minority's feelings or hurt somebody's feelings or do this or do that. It's what your Lord says. Amen? All right. The return of Jesus Christ. I sure thank you for joining in and thank you for staying faithful to the Lord. And we'll just go ahead and get into this study of separation on our next recording and start up the letter S. All right? Be waiting for the Lord. He could come tonight. He could come. The Bible says he's going to come and during the day and during the night, and it's the only way that there can be that is that it's daytime on one side of the world and nighttime on the other. The Bible is so correct and so true and so perfect. Have a wonderful evening. This is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.